It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Hundreds of thousands of people's lives have been disrupted because of the hurricane. Houston area resident John McManus grew up in Downs. His father was once mayor in the village. McManus and his wife, Renee, were visiting a friend in the hospital as the storm bore down on Houston. McManus tells Charlie Schlinker their friend died at the hospital, and by the time they were ready to leave, they became trapped with water behind them and ahead of them on the road. They pulled into the parking lot of a medical arts building near a junior college and tried to get to the highest point in the parking lot.
Well, as time went on, it just kept raining harder and harder. As a matter of fact, in that area nearby, Friendswood, which is about a mile and a half away, they'd experienced 6.5 inches that hour, first hour of that storm.
Wow.
So, of course, that overwhelmed the entire system up in there, and there was no way for the water to get out. So we repositioned the car a couple of times, pulling it closer and up to the building until we were touching the bushes, and about 4 o'clock, the water was coming up under the rocker panels. So we made a decision at that time to call 911 to see if we could get on the lift.
That's got to be fairly frightening to have the
water.
Well,
it's one of those things where it's not like some charging animal or something. It's just an impending feeling of, man, what are we going to do now? You know, we were just a half a mile away from the hospital, but we couldn't get there and they couldn't get to us. I mean, there's no, you know, there were people nearby, but it wasn't much help. You know, you think of what you're going to do, you know, things come into your mind, you know, like all we had since we had just left the hospital, we didn't, you know, pack like we were going to go through any, you know, distress situations. We had no water, no food. You know, I did have, you know, a tire changing tool. I thought, well, as a last resort, if we have to be here too long, I could break a window. There was a daycare on that premises. I thought, surely they have some baby food in there. So things like that go through your mind, you know.
Okay.
And it's just, you're trying to figure out, you don't get too crazy because you're always trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do now? You know, it's one of those things. You're going to worry about it later until you figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah. What did 911 say?
So we looked around the corner, and we saw a strip of grass closer to the front of the building. And I said, I think we need to make a run for it with the car, see if we can get it around and get up on that, you know, get up off the parking lot on that strip of grass and see if we can, you know, buy ourselves a little bit of time. So we tried that about 4 in the morning, which was successful. It didn't stall out the car. We got over there and pulled up on that strip of grass, and we were there through the night. In that time period that we were there, it experienced over 16 inches of rain. And it was basically a lake in front of us, between us and the junior college across the street. And the junior college, of course, being weekend, there was nobody on campus except for maybe one security guard. So, and a skunk. We saw a skunk had made it over there. They thought, well, okay, let's hope the security guard and the skunk don't cross each other's path. Anyway, we live and let live,
you know.
Live and let live at that point, you know. I think the skunk was in a much better, much less advantageous situation than the security guard. So he kind of wanted to give him wide berth.
Were you sure your house was going to be not flooded?
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, when we took off, we thought it was going to be okay. But unfortunately, we didn't have sufficient information to make a good decision. And it turned out we had a bad decision. But I think, you know, once we got up off the road, we started making better decisions. There was a little patio out in front of the doctor's office. It was just a little bit higher, and I said, well, let's see if we can pull that up. So we actually parked up on the entrance to this doctor's office, and, you know, we took all the room that was up there, and I, you know,
water.
We left, we wrote a note to the doctor to apologize if we caused him any inconvenience.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. John McManus is on the line. He is in the Houston area and has been dislocated because of the floods related to Hurricane Harvey. And the water's still rising,
the water's still rising at this time. It had backed off for an hour or so, and we thought as we were sitting up on the top of that slab, the water had started to get up even with it and creep up onto it. And then it backed off about mid-morning, and we thought we saw it going down a little bit, and then the water started coming back again. And it was about that time that we noticed that we didn't see anybody coming through that area. We started to see the Coast Guard helicopters in the distance up along the Interstate 45, which was, you know, some distance away, where they were rescuing people who were on top of their roofs and, you know, on their cars and, you know, out there stuck in the feeders and places, you know, where they imminent danger, where they couldn't get out. And we heard these fan boats, you know, the Everglades-type boats running around from time to time. They had those doing the same thing. Periodically, about every 2 hours, we would get a call from the center that was coordinating the rescues, and they would ask us our situation. And, you know, we told them what the changes were, and then they would try to ascertain our safety and what level of safety we were, and they would try to give us the best, you know, a best case scenario of when we could be picked up. So they were saying, well, if it's at 4 feet, we won't be able to get even one of our military vehicles down there, and the best case scenario is you guys stay there overnight again, and we'll see what happens in the morning. So that wasn't good news, but at least we knew that they knew where we were in case things got worse. And then, of course, you think about, okay, if we have to, maybe we can crawl up on the roof of this building. You know, those different things come through your mind. Anyway, it's a slow race against time, I guess is what you call it. But we were extremely lucky. About, you know, midday, an odd-looking vehicle was creeping through the high water. It was about the size of a very large pickup truck, but it had a big tank on the back. It was a refueling type truck. It was coming out of the local precinct, Southeast Houston Precinct 2. They went on, and they said, we'll come back. And I said, great.
Yeah.
So they were gone for quite a while, and as they went through, I mean, basically all you could see was the cab and the two guys in it. I mean, that's how high the water was. So I thought, well, if they make it back.
So it was coming up to their window levels?
They were submerged inside their cab. It was a special type of vehicle to drive while the operator was sitting in water up to his chest. So if you can imagine sitting in your regular pickup truck or maybe dually and driving through it with water up to your chest level where you just are able to grip the top of the steering wheel and still have your vehicle move, that's what it was. And, of course, they couldn't move very fast as not to create a wake that would swamp them. So they were moving along no faster than, say, 3 or 4 miles an hour as they went. It's kind of an eerie sight, really. But we knew that we had an ace in the hole then, you know, that somebody might be coming back to get us.
How long?
Sure enough, after about 45 minutes to an hour, they came rolling back by again, and they waved to us, did we want to come over and try it? So I asked Renee, do you want to do it? She said yes. So anyway, we waded over to the thing. It was up to her chest level, and it was about midsection on me. And the two guys in the truck, one of them got out, got in the back. It was raining pretty heavily at that time. And I crawled up on the console, and she sat in the seat. Of course, she was up, even then, you know, she was up to the water was up to her knees on, you know, as she was sitting there. And, you know, the guy who got out, he was actually from Chicago. And he'd come down there on vacation. And I said, you know, this is a heck of a way to spend your vacation. He just laughed. Those guys, personally, I think had rescued almost 200 people, you know, that day.
Wow.
So I can't imagine, you know, well, that day, I mean, they were up there last night. They were, and rescue workers were just beat. So they got us up to the food town, up to the supermarket, where all the other people were congregating. Some people had walked there, some had the ATVs bring them up there. Other people had come up and bringing their dogs and their animals with them. One couple were floating their dog in their cooler down the street so that the dog wouldn't get, you know, didn't have to swim, you know, the water was up to their mid, you know, midsection, so that dog could be. It was an amazing amount of humanity that was walking up and down those streets, you know, because they were parts of the streets were you could see and you could be on, and you know, there'd be, you know, like a mile stretch where it would just be a lake. And so it was, we were up in there, and they said, you can wait here, and the truck will come along to take you to the shelter. We were there watching the people, you know, for about a half an hour as they went by, some of them young people buying beer, some of them older people but getting groceries, you know, people on their phones talking as they walk past, talking, finding out their neighbors, how they were faring, you know, talking to their moms and their dads, see if they needed anything, telling them what was available at the Shell station, which is the only thing. They must have had a portable generator up there because everything else was, besides the hospital, they had no power. You know, it was just an amazing amount of people, resilient people out there in this bad situation. A lot of them seemed to be pretty pleasant. One guy stopped. He was talking to us and said that he had just joined the military, and he looked at this as kind of a pre-training to what he was going to be doing later. You know, I mean, they were so helpful. They asked us, you know, did we need some help? If they could, you know, get us anywhere, do anything for us. Of course, you know, what we needed at that time required an extra high vehicle at that point. So one of them came by, and Renee tried to dissuade me from taking it, and I was insistent. We got on it, and she said, no, this isn't going to where we need to go. So I got us. We went down about halfway and just stopped at a fire station. And sure enough, she was right. And we were stopped at a fire station halfway between where we had come from and where we needed to get to. And it's like, now what are we going to do? So she said, well, if that guy comes by, let's see if he can still get us on his truck. Well, he did come by, but by that time, his truck was loaded with people. You know, and I mean, you know, they were one truck that we were on was hauling rescue workers. Some of it had just come on a couple hours ago, and they were fresh. But some of them in there had been on for 24 hours, and those guys were beat. I mean, you talk about some people who look physically exhausted. It's amazing what they had done during that night. I heard on this morning that in the general Houston area, they had made 2,000 water rescues that night. So we were there stuck again. And just by the grace of God, another guy came by in a huge pickup truck, big, high wheels. It was at least, you know, every bit of 2-3 feet off the ground, the very, very lowest part of the fence.
So kind
of
like a monster truck.
So he was just a normal guy, just regular fella out there helping people out, you know, like so many of people were out there doing. And I hailed him and said, are you going down to Cross Point Church? He said, sure, hop in. We finally got down to the end of the street. He let us out, and sure enough, our friends were waiting there for us in their pickup. And it was already pretty high where they were, you know. And so they had to drive through water to get us back to their house. And so that's where we are right now. We're in their house. We're dry. We're safe. We're about as good off as you can be in this situation.
John McManus, who grew up in Downs, speaking with GLT's Charlie Schlenker about his two-day odyssey navigating floodwaters near Houston. He hears from neighbors that his own home is still okay. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM, GLT, and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.